Memory is the spiritual theme of the month. And the good news is, when we engage our memories as spiritual practices, we can experience many blessings. The problem is, as we know, it's not always easy. It can be difficult. Earlier this week, I was listening to Ryan in the office talk about the value of keeping a journal, and it inspired me to look back. I took out a journal I was keeping in 1994 while I was living and working in Mexico in Comitán, Chiapas, and some of the memories were a bit difficult for me. I wrote in one entry, my coworkers and I live together in a group house where three of the five of us have typhoid fever and are not feeling very well, including myself. We talked today about how we wish we had more friendships outside of the people we work with. This morning I returned home from the road and had a desire to call somebody local, maybe to hang out, maybe just to talk. And I realized it's sad to arrive in the city where you live after 2.5 weeks on the road and have nobody to call. I wanted to call the States, but then I thought about how much it costs. I decided I really didn't have the money for that. The house is quiet tonight. I'm going to bed early. Tomorrow I'll get up and get some work in, and then maybe go see a movie to try and raise my spirits. I just felt back to that. Just a little morose. As we explore all the ways in which memories affect the quality of our lives, we do find there's some periods of emptiness or perceived emptiness which can be difficult to revisit. Some of the most common difficult encounters with memory can involve alienation or rejection. And some of the larger societal trends that we're experiencing intensively right now negatively impact our capacity to remember well. The regularities of violence in our nation traumatizes our souls. We have 17 men in a retreat this weekend. Ryan and I were with them until later last night. And one of the guys who's from the Westchester Church got a text at 10:30 that his nephew at 18 years of age was gunned down in a drug deal gone bad yesterday. Left the retreat. People in Pittsburgh and Kentucky burying their dead this week. An average of 95 people die every day in America by guns. 95 deaths per day average. Lies impair our capacity to remember well. Lies. Lies that our nation was built on, about Christopher Columbus discovering the Americas when people had already been living here a long time. Lies about Thanksgiving being divorced from running and killing natives off the lands. On a good day, the President of the United States lies like a corner hustler selling socks with the bottoms cut off. Or he's not going to tell, here's, I got socks for sale. Oh, but you get home, you find out they don't have any bottoms. It's the top of the socks. That's a good day for the president. He lies so often we get too weary to identify or care. The soul-numbing impact of violence and lies cause us to lose memory of who we are and what are our most cherished values. It's tough. It's tough. So we have to keep working with memories of spiritual practices, because some of the memories, like the one of Ingrid, who I think keeps running around hiding from us. She's sorry. Memories like this one of Ingrid can bring us up in emotional intelligence, quality of relationships, well-being, creativity. Let's listen a little more to a memory of Ingrid. As refugees, Ingrid and others left Silesia in January of 1945 because the Red Army was nearby. The Red Army had a reputation for raping and killing indiscriminately. Ingrid tells the story, the Russians were 10 kilometers away, and an alarm was given. First for the women and children to leave, and then for everybody else. But she said, we didn't know what to do. Didn't know how to get out. An open coal wagon, normally used for transporting hay, was placed in the center of the village. And everybody put some pieces of luggage on it and waited for the horses to come and move it along, but the horses never showed up. Fortunately, she says, then a refugee train, although very overcrowded, came by and they were able to board the train and leave. She says it was a stroke of good fate, and they got out, looking back and seeing the buildings going up in smoke. They got out, though, ahead of the marching Russian armies. They didn't know where they were going. They stayed for 2 weeks in a town called Bolkenhain, and then we went on in trains to Bavaria. Things were so bad in Germany, she said, that you always wanted to get out. You always wanted to get out. It matters that we take time to stop and remember. Memories like that elicit courage. They bring up hope in us to deal with our problems. And the benefits of memory are so tangible, so we have to practice. We have to practice with the big memories like those, the really important ones. But you also have to practice on a daily basis. Some of the tangible benefits of memory can come in subtle, unexpected, exquisite ways. At times, seemingly mundane and small things can trigger rich memories. Diane Ackerman wrote a book, A Natural History of the Senses, and in the book she says, nothing is more memorable than a smell. Nothing's more memorable than a smell. One scent can be unexpected, momentary, and fleeting, and yet it can conjure up a childhood summer beside a lake where you felt alive. Or a family dinner of a pot roast and sweet potatoes where you felt safe. For me, looking back at my Mexico year, the smell of pine can put me like that in the mountains of southern Mexico or northern Guatemala. One smell of pine can just put me in the mountains where they would just, these tall pines and blue skies would lift me out of my blues and help me feel so alive. So smell of pine is so magic to me. This month in our small group ministries, there are spiritual practices with memory. I invite you to check them out. You can look on the church website whether you're in a small group or not. Here's one for you. Spend some time thinking about, talking about, how you'd like to be remembered at your memorial service. How would you like to be remembered? Ask a couple people what stories they might pick to share if they were going to speak at your memorial service. How would you like to be remembered at your memorial service? By the way, I would like to know. That's a rich blessing that I have in ministry. When people say, hey, can we talk about my memorial service? I say, most important thing, absolutely. Let's take all the time we want to do that. Think about it. It's not morose. It's spiritual beauty. Another practice, pass on a memory that matters. Pass on something that you don't want to get lost. Right now, I was talking to my friend who works out west and with Native peoples, and he was saying, that he knows some Native American families that are taking time to pass on memories of the elders who have sacrificed and stood tall in protest to protect Native lands, like most recently on a Dakota pipeline, but a whole tradition of standing tall to protect the tradition. Mothers and fathers pitched tents, shivered in the cold, ate simple food and were hungry. Cousins got up on horses with Native American flags and chanted over a commitment to protecting clean water for the community against a pipeline coming through, or keeping the language alive. You have to tell the little kids in the reservation or the community so it doesn't get forgotten. What memories do you want to help build in your family, in our church? What ones do you want to pass on? You have power to pass on important memories of George and Mary and others. This kind of practice increases the capacity to be a justice advocate. You get empowered to be more effective with those memories. We need to practice because the benefits of memory can be great, and remembering is harder than one might think. A number of studies indicate that humans remember with less accuracy than many people assume. For example, studies exploring memories about childhood show that many people are susceptible to believing a story they heard about themselves to be true, even when it's not. You know, like, did we really sleep up in the treehouse all night in the winter like we said, or was that just our big sister's story that we all came to believe? Yeah, I'm not sure either. Pat Murphy and Paul Doherty are two memory researchers who wrote, "People tend to think of memory as being like a tape recorder or a camera capturing what's out there. And that doesn't really match with the current thinking of most memory researchers. The research implies that your memory of an event is something that you construct. Your memory of an event is something you construct from bits and pieces, from what you saw and heard and experienced and felt at the time, from things people told you afterward, from suggestions and thoughts and implications, all filtered by your attitude, all filtered by who you are. So that's a lot of factors. Which bits and pieces do you keep from an event? How do you process what you thought and felt at the time? How does your attitude and who you are affect your memory? And how does your memory affect your attitude and who you are? All these are important questions because there is so much to lose and there is so much to gain. There's so much to gain. Who we are is shaped less by an accumulation of the events of our lives than by a highlighting of key moments. So we all have moments of suffering and joy in our past. It takes practice to remember in a way that gives balance and reconciliation and hope. If you want to live with hope, your memory can be a part of that for you. You can mark things and have intentionality to claim and proclaim them. Here's a story that I like a lot. I know a couple where they had a very scary situation. Their little girl took a scary tumble down a lot of stairs. Very upsetting. And as the fright and the tears were starting to subside, when they came to believe that the girl was okay from this dangerous fall down the stairs, the woman, the mom, looked the dad in the eyes and said, "I love you very much." And then the man looked back and said, I love you very much. So when they think back on this, they don't focus on the fear that the girl was hurt, let alone whose fault was it, which should have had a gate up at the top of this. Why didn't we have a gate up? They focus on the declaration of love in a time of fear. How you remember can help or hinder you in achieving your life's purpose. The mission of the church is building beloved community with compassion, service, and empowerment. What memories can you give to help us achieve that? That can be when we fell short and when we succeeded. On a personal level, which memories can you claim and proclaim as a way of being your most true best self? Which memories might your marriage need right now? Which memories might help you to remember and celebrate that love is the most powerful force in the universe? Which memories might help you and our community to have a strong, vibrant, robust election day? Imagine what would happen if in our beloved community all of us began to intentionally remember more than ever in ways that promoted compassion, service, and empowerment. Blessings be. Amen.